Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 3 lines from the bottom of Daf Vov Omid Beis. Up till now, we had been discussing the Machlokes Tanoim Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbonon in what is the minimum number of walls, or what is the number of walls for a sukkah. According to the Rabbanan, 2 full-size walls and a tefach was sufficient. According to Rabbi Shimon, you needed 3 walls plus a tefach. We're going to be focusing now on Shitas HaRabbanan, who mentioned 2 walls, each one 7 tefachim wide, plus a third representative wall of 1 tefach. Where do you place that 1 tefach board that constitutes the third wall? The title that we assigned to this Gemara, on the side, you can see under the Nosei heading, we've written, Shitas HaRabbanan B'Defanos Shtayim Kihilchoson Ushlishi Afilu Tefach. The Shita of the Rabbanan, the opinion of the Rabbanan, that you need to have 2 walls and a tefach. Oso Tefach Heichon Ma'amido. Where is that tefach to be positioned? Now, even before we begin reading the Gemara, you can see there is an aerial view picture of sukkah walls in the Rashi. So, you can see they have 2 walls and a tefach. The short line is represents the tefach wall. And now we look into the Gemara itself, 3 lines from the bottom. The oisoi tefach heichon ma'amido. Where is that tefach to be placed? Now, we have a marking that we want to explain, the house shape. You can see under the mivne heading on the side, we've indicated that these are tshuvos lehanal. These are responses to the question presented just before in the topic heading, where it is to be placed. So, scan the Gemara ahead. You'll notice we've numbered the answers on the side of the Gemara. You can see we've got the answer. Aleph, Beis, over here, Rav Kana Rav Asi. And a third approach is Gimel, found 4 lines from the bottom, from 4 lines from the top of Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. And about halfway down, you have the fourth approach, where Omar Rava appears. Omar Rav, we continue, second line from the bottom of Vov Amud Beis, Rav says, Ma'amido Keneged Hayotze. Means you would place the tefach board at where the end of one of the 2 walls appears. And that was, you can see, illustrated either by looking at the Rashi, or you see in the Pirush Chai, also on page 19, illustration 80 shows you something like that. We continue. Amri Le Rav Kahana Ravasi LeRav. Rav Kahana Ravasi, they address Rav, and you can look at picture 81 in the Pirush Chai. And you see in our book, Pirush Chai is, of course, the book of illustrations that we're using throughout the Masichta. They say, and we read at the top of Zayin Omer Aleph, V'yamidenu keneged rosh tur. A tur is an ox. Now, an ox's head, if you have a good imagination, when you look at it from above, you notice it has a wide, where its ears are, it's wide, and toward the tip of its snout, so it narrows. So, it tapers in. The rosh tur is an angle, represents an angle. And there's a illustration also in the Rashi, and you can see at the top as well. It's an aerial view. why not view the, why not say that the third wall represented by the tefach is placed at an angle? And what do you gain by that? Well, the angle reminds you or represents two directions. It's if the walls were, let's say, south and east, so that angle would represent partial west and partial north. So it has an element of two more walls in it. So you get more for your, you get more out, more for your money, so to speak, by having the third wall placed at an angle. That sounds like a good idea. Shosik Rav. Rav remained silent. Rav did not respond. Ithmar Nami, Omar Shmuel, Mishmei de Levi. Now the word Nami is tricky, and that's why we wrote above it Kirav, because the Gemara says it has also been said. Now one might have thought that that's just a continuation of what was just suggested, the Rosh Tur, and that's not the case. Rather, Shmuel, in the name of Levi, is saying that it's placed keneged hayotzei, like Rav said, v'chein morin bei midrasha, and it's also ruled thusly in the base medrash, ma'amido keneged hayotzei. It's placed at the edge of one of the two walls in a 90 degree angle to one of the two walls. Rabbi Simon Vitemo Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar, Oise loy tefach sochik umamidoi bepochos mishloishet vachem somoch ledoifen. We're going to go over this line, maybe open picture 89. Turn to picture 89 in the Pirush Chai, so you see what we're referring to. That's found at the bottom of page 20. So the term tefach sochek, sochek means laughing. When one laughs, so he opens his mouth so that there's a spreading apart, so to speak. It simply means an expanded tefach, whereas a normal tefach, one would clench a fist, and it's the clenched fist that is the measure of a tefach. A tefach sofech is where there's a little space between the fingers, and that's illustrated in illustration 87 in the Pirush Chai, where you can see it would be a slightly more expanded fist, which is four fingers. So it's an expanded four fingers type fist. So you would make a board that measures tefach sofech, and you would place it umamidoi bepochos mishloshet fochem, within three tfachim, somach ledoifen, next to one of the two full-sized walls, v'chol pochos mishloisha somach ledoifen kelovud domi, and anything that is within three tfachim of the existing wall is considered attached. So that what we've gained here is we have, in effect, a wall that would legally be considered four tefachim, because you have this tefach sochek is a tefach plus, and it's within three minus a negligible amount, three minus a mashu, so one plus and three minus equals four, and four tefachim represents the majority of seven. So you have the rove of a wall. So we gain quite a bit this way. We have two full-size walls and a third wall that's the majority of a normal minimum-sized sukkah wall. So far we've seen three approaches to where the tefach sochek, or where the tefach is placed. The first approach was simply keneged hayotzei. That was Rav's approach, and it was agreed upon by Shmuel and Levi as well. Thusly, also ruled in the base medrash. We saw Rav Asi, and his approach was Rosh Tur. And we have this tefach sochek approach, the third opinion. You can see now a bracketed section. What Gemara Markings attempts to do with brackets is to maintain a logical flow And in this case, this bracket skipping would enable you to see immediately, Omar Rava, use your bracket length indicator, you can see where Rava picks up, the fourth house shape, Omar Rava, he says, V'ena niteres ella, and there's illustration 93 in the Pirush Chai, and what happens here is that within Rava, and you can see triangles that represent this, there are three Lashonos of Rava, three versions of Rava. But what is common to the three versions of Rava is the presence of the Tzuras HaPesach method. So if you look at, we mentioned illustration 93, and you look at 94, and those illustrations show the Tzuras HaPesach, which literally is a door frame form, which in simpler terms are two uprights and a cross piece. That's a Tzuras HaPesach. And in the three versions of Rava, we have two illustrations, but when we learn the Gemara, you'll see there are three versions of that. This is Rava's approach in how you deal with that tefach, that we'll call it the third wall represented by the tefach. That having been said, now that the structure hopefully is clear, that Rava picks up on the issue of the tefach, in the brackets, we have a separate topic. And on the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei, the topic heading, we've indicated the Nosei, but in Besoch HaSagrayim, Sukkah HaSuya Kemovui, a sukkah that appears like a Mavui. Now, a Mavui is illustrated here for our purposes, illustration 90, and this is a Mavui. Those of you who have learned Maseches Erevin will certainly be familiar with that. We've also mentioned it in passing, that it's an alleyway. And in this case, it's the alleyway in Mavui terms, in Erevin terms, is you have a street, and on two sides of the street you have houses. And the standard Mavui, truth be told, is a Mavui Sosum, where you have houses on both sides of, on three sides of the street, or we might call a cul-de-sac or a dead-end street. In this discussion, we're going to be talking about a Mavui that is two-sided. And that's what you can see in the illustration. The walls would be where houses are, but we're not talking about houses, we're talking about regular walls or boards that form two walls, and then the issue of the third wall, where is it going to be placed? So let us now turn to the Gemara itself. Omar of Yehuda, Sukkah Asuya Kamovui, Ksherab. A sukkah that appears as a Mavui, it is acceptable. It's pointed out that by Rashi, Kemovui Hamufulash, Shishtei Hatfano Zukenegedzu. That's a through Mavui. Mufulash means a thoroughfare, a through Mavui, which is, Rashi is quick to point out, is two walls, one opposite the other, two parallel walls. And we continue in the Gemara, V'oisoi tefach ma'amidoi l'chol ruach shiyirtze. We have a number one, because it's the first of two opinions. The way to solve this Mavui-type sukkah is by placing the third wall at either side, either one of the remaining open sides that you want. Rashi says, l'chol ruach shiyirtze, shoriyesh kan arbo'o, Yoitzin, Uleizi Yoitze, Shirtse, Yaasenu. If we look in the Pirush Chai, we're looking at illustration 90, where you see the parallel walls and the tefach placed wherever you want it. In this case, you see the dashed line in the Pirush Chai, so it's either there or the other one. It could have been placed there as well. Rabbi Simon v'Tamar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar Oyselo Pas Arbo'o Umashihu Umamidoi B'Pochos Mishloisho Somuch L'Doifen. He introduces the board that measures 4 Tvachim plus, and it's placed Umamido B'Pochos Mishloisho Somuch L'Doifen. This is an illustration 91, we see this. It's placed within 3 tfachim of one of the parallel walls. The chopachos mishloisha somach ledoifen kelovu domi. And whenever something is placed within 3 tfachim of something that's standing, so it's considered as if it's attached. Now, what have we gained here? Well, since I'm working with a board 4 plus, and it's placed within 3 tfachim of the other board, it's considered as if it's attached, so the full length of this setup would be 7 tvachim. Once again, 4 plus 3 minus equals 7. Having made reference to a pas arba, a board of 4 umashihu, 4 plus, the Gemara asks, "Umay shno hosom de ko'am resag yotefach sochek?" What's the difference between that which was said earlier? We have a little arrow to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align it with the arrow above, where we made reference to the tefach sochek, the wide singular tefach. "Umay shno hocha de ko'am resbaya pas arbo?" Why here in the case of the mavui sukkah mavui are we requiring a board of 4 tfachim? Why this stringency? The Gemara answers, Hosam diikos shtei defanos kihil chosan. There we had 2 walls set up at a right angle. Sagi le betefach sochek. The wide singular tefach was enough. Hacha delekos shtei defanos. Here, where you don't have 2 right angle walls, the 2 walls are parallel. And therefore, it's we'll call it a weaker setup, because you have 2 wide open gaps. So therefore, we need a stronger method of closing the third side. Iiko pas arbo in. If you have a pass, 4 tfachim wide, then in, yes, it's good. Otherwise, no. Omar Rova. And as we said, we're now outside the brackets. A fourth approach to the singular tefach board and its positioning. Again, we're dealing with the right angle setup. We have 2 regular size walls, 7 tefach walls, and the third wall represented by the tefach. How do we deal with that? And on the side, you can see we feature the triangle under the Mivneh heading. These are Gimel L'Shoynes B'Tshuvas Rava B'Gisha Dalid L'She'elo Shel Tefach HaShlishi Heichon Ma'amidim Oisoi. 3 approaches to Rava, understanding Rava, or 3 versions of Rava regarding how to deal with that third tefach. So Omar Rava, illustration 93, V'eino niteres elo betsuras hapesach. That means the one tefach board, you would split it into 2 half tefachs, and across the 2 half tefachs boards that are placed, as you can see in illustration 93, they are placed in effect at each half board opposite the end of the facing wall, and having placed the 2 half tefach boards, each one opposite the end of the existing wall, across the top you then place a board creating a tsuras hapesach, the image, the form of a door entrance. So in this first approach of the three Rava approaches, the first approach, you have the tefach represented by one tefach port split into two half tefachim. Iko di Amri, another approach, Omar Rava, v'niteres nami b'tzuras ha-pesach. This means you have a choice. Either you take the one full tefach board, as we have mentioned earlier, and place it keneged ha-yotze, or you take two poles, each one of negligible size. In this case, there's no reference to a tefach. The tefach is where you want to use a full tefach size board, so use it. You don't split it, just use it as is and place it keneged the yotze. However, there's another option that Rava gives, having nothing to do with a tefach. It's two mashuhu poles. Place them, as we saw in illustration 93, and across them you can draw a string, or you place a very thin pole across them, forming a tzuras ha-pesach. Iko di Amri Omar Rava, a third version of Rava, illustration 94, Otsricha Nami Tsuras Apesach. As opposed to the second version, he said Niteres Nami Tsuras Apesach. Here it says Otsricha Nami Tsuras Apesach. In addition to the single tefach that you set up, keneged hayotze, you need to have an additional pole. Now, its size is not of significance. It could be a mashu as well, but you need an additional pole placed opposite the other end of the facing wall with a string or with a board placed across the top. That's illustration 94. If you are going to use the singular tefach board, so of course you're going to want to distance it three tefachim, within three tefachim from the existing wall. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Toward the end of the narrow lines, Tzrichana mitzvus ha-pesach, mashma de travayu bo'inon. Tefach etzel hayotze, v'kona b'zovis shekinegdo, v'kona shal gabehem koi, mitefach ze lekonel shel zovis. As we said, you need to have both. You need the tefach keneged hayotze, and you need to have another pole opposite the other end of the parallel of the facing wall, and something drawn across the top. In the illustration, he has that single, the aleph, the tefach board, placed at a distance from the existing wall. However, from the Rashi, you don't see that. He mentions that in the illustration, why he made it like that. We continue in the Gemara. Rav Ashi Ashkechei l'Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi found Rav Kahana, the Ka'ovid Tefach Socheik, the Ka'ovid Tzuras HaPesach. What he was doing was he was placing a tefach sochek opposite the yotze, and Rashi makes reference to like Rav Simon above. And by the way, in Rav Simon, so there Gemara mentioned this distancing of three tefachim from the from the yotze as well. So in illustration 94, you in effect see what is happening right now in the Gemara, where Rav Kahana is setting up. He's using a large tefach, placing it keneged the yotze at a distance of within three tefachim. Plus, he's also making a tzuras ha-pesach. Omar lei, so Rav Ashi says, lo sovar mor leha de Rava di Omar Rava. Do you not hold from that which Rava teaches, the niteres nami b'tzuras ha-pesach, that if you are using a tzuras ha-pesach, so then you can have two negligible size boards. We call them in Hebrew two mashuhu size poles, and a board going across the top of them. and you are doing more than is required. That was Rav Ashi's question to Rav Kahana. Why is he doing both a tefach sochek plus a tzuras ha-pesach, when, according to Rava 2, you had a choice? Omale, so Rav Kahana answers, Ano ki'idoch lishna de Rava svirali, I hold like the other version of Rava, the third version of Rava, the Omar Rava, Utsricha nami tzuras ha-pesach, where in addition to having a tefach present, you also have to have the tzuras ha-pesach, as we saw in illustration 94. So Rav Kahana holds like the third version of Rava, creating the extra effort and extra material as he performed, as he required. Shtayim kilchasan v'chulei. We have an illustration that will help us as we go along. Illustration 100 in the Pirush Chai. It's the bottom of page 22. Of course, this is an aerial view. So we see a house, and we see a sukkah built up adjacent to the house. There's an entranceway that's illustrated between the house and the sukkah, two little lines indicating a doorway. We're going to be discussing Shabbos in this section of Gemara, Shabbos and Sukkos. Shabbos, as everyone knows, there is a prohibition known as Hotzah, of carrying something from one domain into another, from a private domain to a public domain, from the house into the street. Here we have a sukkah that's built in a Rishus HaRabim. It's built in a thoroughfare, whereby the house on an ordinary day opens into a street. And he built his sukkah using the house as one wall, another perpendicular wall for the second wall, and a tefach within three tefachim of the house for the third wall. We continue in the Gemara. We should note, by the way, before we begin the Gemara itself, as we ought to do constantly, is make reference to the topic heading on the side, the no say. And we've written, Migu dehavi doifin lesukka, since this setup constitutes a kosher sukkah, havi doifin leShabbos. It serves as a wall for enclosure purposes on Shabbos. And when we speak about an enclosure on Shabbos, in order to be considered a private domain, you would have to have three walls. And three walls on Shabbos would mean three normal size walls. Each wall, of course, is a minimum of 10 tefachim high. And an enclosure would be three normal size walls. If you want to call that 7 tefachim walls, that so be it. The case here is where we have Shabbos and Sukkos coinciding. In other words, the holiday of Sukkos is a seven-day holiday. One of those days is going to come out on a Shabbos. And the sukkah is, in effect, two walls, and the third wall is a mere tefach. Does this constitute an enclosure, not only for the sukkah, but to enable you to carry from the house into the sukkah, which is positioned in a thoroughfare? Again, I know we're sounding a bit repetitious, but as far as Hilchos Shabbos are concerned, in this case you only have two walls, and an enclosure on Shabbos you need to have three walls, three normal, full-size walls. Here, we don't have that, but what we do have is a kosher sukkah. We will have a marking, a double underline, and under Mivneh, we've explained these represent Gimel, Halachas Shel Rava. There will be three Halachas of Rava. The third one is found on Amud Beis, Be'inyan Sukkah. Be'Amud Beis, HaGemara Tasit Shrichusa LeGimel Halachas Elu. On Amud Beis, the Gemara will point out the necessity of having these three Halachas of Rava. We now continue in the Gemara. Omar Rava, where we've double underlined Rava, number one, the Chain L'Shabbos. And likewise, with regard to Shabbos. Rashi, on the first wide line, the Chain L'Shabbos, Afal Pi, Shetzorach L'Shabbos, Shalosh Mechitzis, Leosos, Rishus HaYochid. Even though, in general, on Shabbos, in order to constitute a private domain, you'd have to have three walls. Shabbos shel sukkis mutu lismoch al mechitzas sukkah. When Shabbos falls out on the holiday of sukkis, you can rely on the sukkah walls. Imosa birshus harabim somach lebischoi sukkah. The ein bo elo shtayim kilchos nishlishus afilu tefach. Where you made a sukkah like we illustrated before, and we see this in the Pirush Chai, two regular walls and a third tefach wall. Machnis umotzi himeno lebeis, you can carry from your house to this sukkah on Shabbos of Sukkis. Just skip the brackets that we have in the Rashi momentarily. L'Shabbos de Sukkah Shariyah. For Shabbos coming out on Sukkis, this is considered mutter. The migu dahu tefach agmere rachmono lemoishe b'mechitzes sukkah de lehevei lei doifen shleima l'sukkah. Since the one tefach, which is as far as a regular Shabbos is concerned, is far too small, but since agmere rachmono means the Almighty taught Moshe Rabbeinu from Sinai that with regard to sukkah walls, this is a full wall. Havi doifenami b'Shabbos de sukkah le'inyan Shabbos. This constitutes a wall for the Shabbos coinciding with Sukkis as a good Shabbos wall. Now we skipped a little section in the Rashi, so let's go back and read that line so that we of course don't end up skipping anything. But the way we read the Rashi is to give you the simple flow of the Rashi reading without an interruption. So we go back to the second wide line of the Rashi. In the middle of the line, we had been reading the sukkah in question is really shtayim kilchos neshlishus afilu tefach machnas emotzi emenu libeso. You can carry. We said this before. You can carry from your house into such a sukkah on Shabbos. The afal gav. We're reading in the brackets. The afal gav de b'shar shabbosus loy mishteri. Even though on other shabbosus this would not be allowed. Other means non sukkah shabbosus. Rest of the Shabbos of the year, I nami bishar mechitzes she'enon shel sukkah, or it could be Sukkis mamish, the holiday of Sukkis and it's Shabbos. But you've got two walls and a tefach without schach on it. There's other walls that are not a sukkah. Lo mishteru b'hachi. This would not be sufficient for allowing carrying from the house into this thing set up in a rishus harabim. A key word was referenced, and that is migu, meaning since. Since is good for A, it's good for B. So now we go back to the Gemara. We read Rava. Rava said v'chein l'Shabbos, and now we see the beginning of the line migu da havya doifen l'inyan sukkah, havya doifen l'inyan Shabbos. Since it constitutes the tefach constitutes a legal wall to make your sukkah kosher, make it a three-sided sukkah. Three sides, the minimum is what you require to have a kosher sukkah. So it's kosher l'inyan Shabbos, and as a result, you can carry from the house to this sukkah on Shabbos Sukkis, where the Sabbath day that comes out on the holiday of Sukkis. Esve Abaye challenges. And we start a question here. This question lasts a number of lines. Call this a long question. Umi amrinon migu. Do we apply such a principle? A Tanaic source is quoted, and concluding at the end of after the Tanaic source, the Gemara, the question will come to a head. So let's see what it says. V'hatanya, doifen sukkah k'doifen Shabbos. The wall for a sukkah is like the wall for Shabbos. Ubilvad shelo yeh bein kana l'chaveiro shloishet tvachim. when you're setting up a wall for Sukkah, or is a wall for Shabbos, you can make a wall by having upright poles positioned one after the other, even though it's not a solid board, if you will, a solid piece, but you have very thin poles. However, the thin poles are set up in succession, one next to the other, as you can see in illustration 101, poles set up, provided they're within three tefachim of one another, so that they form an attachment. In legal terms, it constitutes a solid wall. Another kind of, we'll call, flimsy wall that's kosher for Shabbos and would be kosher for a sukkah would be setting up poles or strings, as you can see in illustration 102, where they're not upright, but rather they are parallel with the ground, but each one within three tefachim of the next, till you reach a height of 10 tefachim. So that's what's meant here, that doifin sukkah kedoifin Shabbos, provided that the gap between the poles that you are using is within three tefachim of one another. V'yaseira Shabbos al sukkah. Now the word yaseira is to mean more stringent or greater is the rule of Shabbos over sukkah. Shashabbos eino niteres ela ba'oimed meruba ala porutz. Masha'en kein besukkah. When it comes to Shabbos, a wall is considered a wall only if the solid material, the standing material, is greater than the openings. Whereas with regard to a sukkah, we're not insistent on oimed meruba ala porutz. Now, before we go further in the Gemara, let's first take a look at Rashi, who explains these cases. We're looking in the Rashi, nine lines down in the wide lines of Rashi, under the Gemara. Shehashabos eino niteres, im yesh bo psochim harbe. If you have a wall that happens to have a lot of openings in it, a lot of doorways. However, a doorway might not be a good example because we're talking about openings she'ein b'hem tzuras ha-pesach, where there's no cross piece above the top. V'rabim al ha'oimed u'mevatli lei la'oimed. And as we said before, on Shabbos you have to have three sides. And if you have three walls, and the three walls happen to have a lot of openings in them, and if you add up the openings, the width of each opening, you'll find that there is more space than there is standing material. That kind of enclosure is called oimed, is called porutz meruba ala oimed. The opening is more than that which is standing. That is not acceptable with regard to Shabbos. Rashi goes on, Masha'en came b'sukkah, as opposed to sukkah, desagi lei b'shtayim kilchosan, u'shlishis afilu tefach. There's an illustration that you can take advantage of, an aerial view, illustration 103. That's a sukkah. And if you look at that, you see two walls and a tefach. However, even amongst the standing walls, you've got openings in them. V'afilu hoyu lo psochim, Rashi goes on, b'shtei hadefanos, echod oshnayim, and even if there are openings in the standing walls, one opening or two openings in the standing walls, d'chimitzarfis luhu b'hadi shtayim haprutzos, if you add those openings to the fact that two walls are completely non-existent altogether, with the exception of the tefach, habile porutz meruba. This enclosure we call the sukkah is actually more open than enclosed. It's porutz meruba ala oimed, and it's mutter. This kind of sukkah would be allowed. So we read a source, and in the source it said that Shabbos has a stringency over sukkah, that Shabbos you cannot have porutz meruba ala oimed, you have to have oimed meruba ala porutz, as opposed to sukkah. And now, the Gemara comments, My lav, what does this mean? We're reading back in the Gemara, last narrow line. What does this mean? Yisera Shabbos de Sukkah Asukkah. More stringent is the Sukkah on Shabbos than the Sukkah during the rest of the week. The lo amrino migu, and we don't apply the principle of migu that said, since it's good for one, it's good for the other. And we're not saying over here that since it's good as a doifen for a sukkah, namely, porutz merubo al oimed is good as a wall for the sukkah, and that which is the case, it shall also be good as a wall for Shabbos, Shabbos of Sukkis. So that as far as this source is concerned, if you would have a sukkah constructed like you see in illustration 103, adjacent to a house, and it happens to be Shabbos, you would not be allowed to carry from the house into such a sukkah. Well, that would run counter to Rava's teaching. Rava wanted to say that since it's good for a sukkah wall, it shall be good for Shabbos as well. The Gemara answers in defense of Rava. Loi. Not so, but rather in general, we will apply the principle of Migu. So what does the source mean when it says Yisera Shabbos al Sukkah? It means as follows. Yisera meant more stringent. It says Yisera Shabbos de Alma al Shabbos de Sukkah. Namely, in general, Shabbosos of the rest of the year are more stringent than the way we would deal with Shabbos that coincides with Sukkis, with the holiday of Sukkis. Shabbosos during the year will be insistent on having oimed merubah al haporutz. Shabbos of Sukkah, we will allow even porutz merubah al oimed, as long as it's kosher for a Sukkah, it will be kosher for the laws of Shabbos as well. Abaye asks, Ihochi, well, if so, that we do apply the principle of Migu and in accordance with the way you're understanding the source, listeni nami, let the source teach me the following as well. Let it state as follows. Yisera Sukkah di Alma, Asukkah di Shabbos. Here, note, there's this little turnaround. Here we're saying more stringent is a sukkah outside of Shabbos than sukkah during Shabbos. Before, in the source featured more stringent is Shabbos in general than Shabbos of Sukkos. Here we're saying more stringent in general is a sukkah during the week than sukkah of Shabbos. And what is that? The ilu sukkah di alma bayo tefach sochek. A general sukkah for its third wall, you require an expanded tefach. Ve'ilu sukkah de Shabbos, lo baya tefach sochek. But as opposed to sukkah of Shabbos, there isn't a requirement of having the expanded tefach as the third wall. Ve'sagi belechi. A lechi would be enough. A lechi is an upright pole, not having any specific amount or dimension to it. It could be something very thin, less than a tefach. The ha at hu da amris, you, Rabba, have said, or Rava, depending on the girsa, you have said, and this is on Amud Beis, Sichech al gabi movui shiyesh lo lechi kosher. There's an illustration of this, illustration 104. A lechi appears in the context of a movui. A movui, we've discussed this before, it's an alleyway, if you will. It's houses that are on two sides of a pathway, and that's what you see illustrated in picture 104. According to Rashi, we're talking about a mavui mefulash, a through mavui. And at the entrance to this alley, the entrance, there is a pole that's set up, and that's called a lechi. The dimension of that is less than a tefach. You can carry in a mavui like this on Shabbos. This is so far. the illustration has schach over there, forget about the schach for the time being. Shabbos during the year. If you have a setup like this, a mavui mafulosh with a pole in it, and we're learning with according to Rashi's approach to the sukkah, that would be kosher for Shabbos purposes. You could carry within this area on Shabbos. And certainly according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda that appears elsewhere in Shas, two walls is considered a Rishus HaYochid, and that's Midoraisa, and a Lechi on the third side, on one of the entranceways, is the means of making it kosher, even Midorabonon. So as far as Shabbos is concerned, this is considered an enclosure for Shabbos, and Rabbah says that if this takes place on Sukkos, if it's Shabbos Sukkos, you know, all you have to do is have it covered with schach, and it's kosher as a sukkah. Now, if it wasn't Shabbos, would that be kosher as a sukkah? No. We discussed earlier, we mentioned in the brackets, in the bracketed section above, sukkah, sukkamovui, you have to have a tefach, or tefach sochek, at the entranceway. So what do we see here? We see, since something is kosher for Shabbos, it's kosher also for sukkah. Hahu lo itzdericha lei. This teaching that was just suggested is true, but it's unnecessary. What was the point of the last teaching? The point was to suggest that we will find a situation of stringency of sukkah in general than sukkah of Shabbos. And we end up saying that since something is kosher for Shabbos, it will also be kosher as a sukkah, namely the lechi setup. But I don't need to tell you that. And why is that? It's obvious. Hashta mikilta lechamirta amrinan. Mind you, from a case of chomer, of kal to chomer, we will say migu. What do we mean by that? We said before, the case of the one tefach, third wall that was kosher for a sukkah, we said that since something is kosher for a sukkah, by way of illustrations, it goes back to the case of the sukkah built alongside the house, illustration 100. In that case, we were saying that since it's good for the more lenient area, or the lighter halachic area, i.e. sukkah is not something that carries with it, if one violates it, a death penalty, as is the case in Shabbos. And yet we were saying that since something constitutes a wall for a sukkah, it will also constitute a wall for Shabbos. That is a big chiddush, and we say it. So the Gemara is saying that once I tell you that we go from the kal kilta, from the more lenient area of halacha, from the lighter area of halacha, and apply what's kosher for a lighter area of halacha to a more stringent area of halacha, it goes without saying then if I have a more stringent area of halacha where something is acceptable, namely the mavui case, where we said a lechi is good on a regular Shabbos, it's good for the stringent area of halacha, certainly it will be good for a case of a sukkah, where I throw schach over that mavui, as was illustrated in 104, that is obviously going to be kosher. Therefore, the suggestion that Abaye made of why doesn't this Tanaic source include the case of the mavui that's covered with schach as being kosher as a sukkah, that simply goes without saying. It's obvious. Gufa, Omar Rabba. This is a quote of that which we mentioned before in the name of Rabba. This is now, what in our list of halachas, the second Rabba teaching. Rabba says, we continue at the top of Amud Beis, Sikech al gabi mavui shiesh loy lechi. Kshera, if you throw schach over the top of an alleyway that happens to have a lechi at its entranceway, it is acceptable, it's kosher. V'omar Rabba, another teaching of Rabba, the third teaching, illustration 107. This is the case of the Passe Biroz. This illustration is found at the top of page 24, illustration 107. He says, Sike Chagabi Passe Biroz Kshera. And Passe Biroz is a topic we've mentioned in the past, but we'll review it for the new listeners. A pit appears in the middle of this angular board setup, and on as far as Shabbos is concerned, people can draw water from the pit to the surface, which might be a public thoroughfare, but since it's surrounded by these four angular boards, which we call Passe Biroz, each board measuring 6 by 6 tfachim, and you have that set up on four corners, as you see illustrated, schach then thrown over the top, it's kosher as a sukkah. And what's the reasoning over here? Very similar to what we said at the bottom of Omer Aleph, since it constitutes a good enclosure for Shabbos, that means a Passe Biroz situation is considered an enclosure for a regular Shabbos. It's considered an enclosure also as far as sukkah walls are concerned. That even though sukkah in general, this wouldn't be allowed if it wasn't a Shabbos situation, a sukkah in general needs to have two kilchosen, two full-size walls, and a full-size sukkah wall minimum is 7 tfachim. These boards have a width of 6 tfachim in each direction. A sukkah wall, just to repeat, would require 7 tefach walls in each direction and a third singular tefach wall, which you don't have here at all. But since it's good for Shabbos, it works to serve as an enclosure for Shabbos in general, it serves as an enclosure for a sukkah as well. That's Rava number 3. The Gemara continues, Utsricha. This is called a Tsrichusa, means the Gemara will make a point. Then we're going to, marking-wise, we have this as a long point, but it basically says, why do I need these three teachings of Rava? We had numbered them and used a double underline to highlight them. The first halacha was, we said, if you have two walls and a tefach built adjacent to your house, since it serves as a good wall for a sukkah, it's good for carrying in and out of the house to the sukkah on Shabbos. Halacha number 2 of Rava was Sike Chagabi Mavui, and we said since it's good for Shabbos, it certainly will be good as a sukkah. And here we have the third halacha as well, since it's good, the Passe Biroz halacha, since it's good for Shabbos, it's good for a sukkah as well. What do I need all three halachas for? Utsricha. The I Ashminan Mavui. Had I taught just the halacha of Mavui? Now, by the way, when we speak about these three halachas, what in general, what they have in common is it's good for sukkah, it's good for Shabbos, or it's good for Shabbos, it's good for a sukkah. They seem to have this parallel or common element to each one of them. Being that they have that common element, what is the significance of teaching each one of these halachas? So the Gemara says that had I had just the case of the Mavui, Mishum de'ikos shtei defanes ma'al yisa. The reason that the Mavui case would be effective is because I've got two full-size walls. It's an alley with walls on either side of the alley. Those are two defanos. Defanos are wall malias, so good walls. Avol gabi pasi biros, but halacha number 3, the lekoshtei defanos malias, so aim alo. You don't have any two perpendicular walls that are fitting whatsoever in that illustration. So I would have thought that having, if I would have known halacha number two, I wouldn't have known halacha number three. In halacha number two, you've got two full-fledged walls. In halacha number three, you don't have any representation of two full-fledged walls. The Ashmina possibly rose, and had I taught you halacha number three, Mishum Diiko Shem Arba Defanos. You've got a representation, a hint, if you will, a hint to four walls. Of course, if you look in the illustration, in the Pasibros illustration, number 107, you see in your mind's eye, the beginning will say of, you have an image of four walls. It's enclosed on four sides. Truth be told, of course, that the gap is much greater, but you have the representation of four walls. But in case number two, halach rabba number two, you don't have the representation of four walls. You got two walls. Amolo, I would say that that's not effective. It wouldn't be kosher as a sukkah. So therefore, it's important, in addition to teaching halacha number three, we have to teach case number two as well. The yashmin and hani tarti, had I taught you cases two and three, I wouldn't have known case number one. I would have thought, mechamirta lekilta. We apply the principle of migu when we go from a stringent area to a relaxed, a lenient area. Namely, in cases two and three, what were we saying? We were saying that since these constitute enclosures for Shabbos, they will also be acceptable for a sukkah on Shabbos. That's okay, that's like no big deal. We'll repeat ourselves, once we say something functions in a Shabbos capacity as an enclosure, certainly it will serve as an enclosure for sukkah purposes. Avol mikilta lechamirta eim alo. But to suggest that something that functions as something acceptable for a lenient area of halacha, the two walls and a tefach, which makes a good sukkah, I wouldn't know that that constitutes an enclosure for Shabbos purposes as well. For chamirta, Shabbos is more stringent. It carries with it a death penalty if one violates it knowingly. So eimo lo, I would have thought that it's not effective. That even though cases two and three of Rabbah, the sukkah sikamovui, the sikah kagabi movui, and the pasibros are kosher as a sukkah, that may be true because they are kosher for Shabbos. But for some to suggest that something that's kosher as a sukkah should also be kosher to allow Shabbos permitting Shabbos restrictions, I don't know that that would be allowed. Tzricha, therefore it's needed. Case number one must be taught as well. We continue with a new quote from the Mishnah. V'shechamosam ruba mitzilsa psula a sukkah, which allows more light than produces shade, is unacceptable. The Gemara. Before we read the Gemara, we should note illustration 116. Of course, the topic heading here is concerns the issue of a sukkah that allows more light than shade. And we'll actually see a machlokas tanoim concerning a situation of a sukkah that allows more light than shade as a result of walls that are very flimsy, very open, if you will. Illustration 116. What do we see there? We see plenty of schach, a normal schach, schach covering, which would itself produce a sufficient amount of shade. However, the walls there are quite open. The openings are very great. A lot of sunlight will come in. Hence, you have a sukkah where the chamsa is ruba mitzilsa. But the element that's responsible for that is not the schach. So the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonan. Chamsa machmas sikuch velo machmas defanos. Chamsa is the sun that we say is a disqualifying factor. That's only if the abundance of sunlight is a result of an overly thin covering. However, if the abundance of sunlight is a result of open walls, that is not a problem. So that you'd have to have a good imagination. That if you have a sukkah like 116, you would have to say to yourself, if those walls were closed, there would be much more shade than sun, because the schach itself doesn't present a problem. So as far as the Tanakhama is concerned, this picture 116 illustrates a kosher sukkah. Rabbi Yoshia Omer, Af Machmas Defanos. Rabbi Yoshia says that the walls also can be a disqualifying factor if they are allowing too much sun. Omer of Yemar Bar Shalmiya Mishmeida by my time of Rabbi Yoshia. What is the basis of Rabbi Yoshia? Dichtiv. The pasuk says, "V'sakoisa al ha'aroin es ha'poroches." Poroches equals mechitza. The poroches in the Mishkan was a curtain that separated the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctum, from the rest of the Mishkan. So the poroches was a mechitza, was a divider. V'kokarya rachmonas chocha. And the Torah uses the word v'sakosa, which means an overshadow, a covering. So, what do we see from this? Alma mechitza kischach bo'inon. We see from here that the rules that apply to walls, in a manner of speaking, not all the way, there are many more details, but in a manner of speaking, the rules of walls are like the rules of the schach. And in our sense, it means that you shall not have an overabundance of sunlight, whether it comes as a result of too thin schach or too open walls, too much opening in the walls. V'rabbanan, the Tanakhama who indicated that Machmas Defanos is not a problem, what do they do with the pasuk by the Mishkan? Hahu denechuf be'purta demechsi kischach. It means that the upper edge of the mechitza in the Mishkan shall be have a type of flap where it also serves as a type of, it flaps over, so there's a covering at the upper edge of the Mishkan poroches that separated the Kodesh from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But the Rabbanan don't see any teaching in that pasuk that has relevance to an actual sukkah. Omar Abaye. Here we have a new discussion, and that you can see we have a slash mark indicating this is a new trend of thought. And on the side, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we indicate Shmoina Tanoim Sukadiras Keva Bo'inan. We have 8 Tanaic opinions that say that the Sukkah is to be a permanent type structure. In other words, according to these 8 Tanoim, the concept of a diras aroi, something of a temporary nature, is not a characteristic of the sukkah, but rather diras keva bo'inon. And what Rashi says about that, diras keva, Rashi says, across from here, more or less, is Reuyo Lishtamesh Kavua, Venires Kabais. It's something that's fit to be used on an ongoing basis, and it looks like a house. The list is as follows: after Omar Abaye, Rebbe, Rebbe Yoshia, Rebbe Yuda, Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Gamliel, Ulbe Shammai, Rebbe Eliezer, Achirim, Kuhu, Sviru, Luhu, all hold Sukkah Diras Keva Bo'inon. The sukkah must be something fit to be used on an ongoing basis. The diamonds, as we indicated before, they highlight the names and their in anticipation of their respective sources. Rebbe Desanya, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe in this following brisa says, Kol sukkah she'ein bo arba amos al arba amos psula. Any sukkah that lacks as its minimum size, 4 by 4 amos, is unfit. Now, we've seen Rebbe before, but what we're seeing here is that, as opposed to the shita of the Rabbanon, we've made reference before to 7 by 7 hand breadths. This shita, the shita of Rebbe, requires a much larger area, 4 by 4 amos. 1 amo is 6 tfachim, so it's 24 by 24 hand breadths as opposed to 7 by 7. The reason being that sukkah diras kevelin, it has to be something that you can use on an ongoing basis and not just as a temporary structure. Rabbi Yoshia ha damoron. Rabbi Yoshia, we just made reference to him earlier. That was the case of the too much sunlight let into the sukkah as a result of gaping walls. That's a reflection of this opinion that sukkah diras keva bo'inon. And if there's any trouble in finding Rabbi Yoshia, we have little arrows to the side indicating where you can see him above. Rabbi Yehuda, the Snan, Rabbi Yehuda also holding sukkah diras keva. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda we saw at the beginning of our Mesichta. The Snan, sukkah shi gavoa lamalo meyesrim amo psula. Rabbi Yehuda machshir. A sukkah that's more than 20 amos high, the Chachomim hold it's unacceptable, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. In order to have a structure that is more than 20 amos in height, it would have to be made in a permanent type, in a physically secure permanent type building fashion. And hence, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you see that a sukkah can be a diras keva. According to the Rabbanan, it is supposed to be a diras aroi, and that would, making it keva, making it in a permanent fashion, would be a violation. There's more detail and refinement of that which we just said, but the basic point is that which we explained. Rabbi Yehuda reflecting an opinion holding that it can be a diras keva. And we say can be, according to Abaye, it would seem that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it must be a diras keva. Rabbi Shimon de Sanya, Shnayim kilchosen rishlishi afilu tefach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Sholosh kilchosen revi afilu tefach. This two we've seen before. The Tanakama holds that the sukkah is 2 walls and a tefach. Rabbi Shimon holds it must be 3 walls and a tefach. And according to Rabbi Shimon's mindset, it has to be, you've got to have 4 walls. The fact that the 4th wall can be 1 tefach, that would be a function of a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. However, the reason for needing four walls in theory is because it is supposed to serve as a protection from the outside elements, from the heat and from rain. That is characteristic of a diras keva. Rabbi Gamliel de Sanya, Rabbi Gamliel is reflecting the following Tanaic source: Oisus sukkasa b'rosh ha'agala b'rosh ha'sfina, person who builds a sukkah on a cart or on a boat. Rabbi Gamliel posel, Rabbi Kiva machshir. Rabbi Gamliel says that's not acceptable. Now Rashi says, "Baroish hasfina shehi gevoa ma'od kesfinas hayam." It's very high up, like is the case on ocean liners. Shehen gedolos, they are large boats. V'horuach bova krosa, a sea wind can blow and it'll blow the sukkah right off the deck. Uberosh hagolanami, likewise with regard to a sukkah built on the top of a cart, kevon de 90, since the cart is in motion, mischazi ke'en aroi, it appears to be of a temporary type nature. So according to Rambam Gamliel, such a sukkah is not good. As Rashi indicates, it's aroi, it has this temporary element to it. Beis Shammai, Disnan, Beis Shammai is also something we've seen in the past. Mishoy Arosha, Veruba Basukha, Vishulchana Basokha Bayas, a person whose body, his head and his torso is in the sukkah, but his table is in the house, Beishamai poislin ubeishilo mafshirin. Beishamai says that's unacceptable. In other words, all that is of you that's in the sukkah is your head and your body, your torso, that's diras aroi. Whereas, according to Beis Shammai, you'd have to have your table also in the sukkah. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, says that as long as Rosh HaVeruba is in the sukkah, that's enough. And as Rashi says, Beis Shammai passes when the table is in the house, because Roy L'Tashmish Bo'inon, we need to have a sukkah that's functional. And if in order to eat, you'd have to always be sure that you're sitting erect and bringing the food to your mouth, that is a very restrictive type of structure, and hence it's not roy l'tashmish, it's not fit for regular use. We continue with the next shita, Rabbi Eliezer, Disnan, Ha'oisa sukasa kimin srif. We have wonderful illustrations in the Pirush Chai, illustrations 118 and 119. Kamin Tzrif, you can see illustrated in 118. You can call it something made like a tent. And 119 is Somcha L'Kaisel, where you took the Schach and leaned it up against the wall, so that the wall and the Schach are one in the same. Rabbi Lezer posel. Rabbi Lezer says that's not acceptable. The fishain lo gag. It doesn't have a roof to it, and a roof is that which is at least a tefach going across the top, parallel to the ground. You don't have that over here. It doesn't have a gag, and the chachamim machshirin. Again, this is reflective of something that is not. As Rashi said earlier, it's not something that's near a kibayis. It doesn't look like a house. Achirim, the last of the eight shitas that says diras keva bo'inon, desani achirim omrim sukkah asuya keshovach psula lefi she'ein lo zavios. A sukkah that's made in the round. A shovach literally is a coop, a bird coop, but it means in the round. Illustration 126. This is not an acceptable sukkah because it doesn't have corners. And again, we saw Rashi how we've said this many times in Gemara markings, how careful Rashi is. And he said near a kibayis, it has to appear looking like a house. And something that we saw before, Rabbi Lezer, doesn't have a roof, doesn't look like a house. Something that doesn't have corners to it, it's built in the round, doesn't look like a house. So at this point then, Abaye's point is clear. There are eight Tanoim that all have this in common. That each Tano necessarily holds like the other one, that's already a separate discussion. But that they all have a common theme, this is what Abaye was trying to... that was the point Abaye was making. The next piece of Gemara, even though we're a few lines from the bottom, is really one continuous discussion that goes till Daf Ches, hence it would not be wise for us to continue reading on in the Gemara. So before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.